projector.
Every day you keep me safe and warm and loved and fed. But today's your special day, it was my turn instead. So I got up at 5 a.m., I've been working hard since then. Some things I didn't get quite right, next year I'll try again. Just for you I did my best to cut my own hair. Some places came out pretty good and some are kind of bare. I washed all your nicest clothes, but the washer wasn't free. So I used the dishwasher, pretty smart of me. Remember, no one's perfect, every kid has faults. Remember, it's the thought that counts more than the results. My heart was in the right place, even though I did it wrong. It was all to say on Mother's Day, my love for you is strong. I vacuumed really quietly, I didn't use the power. I cleaned your dirty iPad screen, I held it in the shower. I painted all the ceilings, it was easy with the mop. Now the carpet's painted too with cool rainbow drops. I answered all your work emails with just leave me alone. And we gave a prince from Scandinavia a loan. I watered all the houseplants with the garden hose. I forgot to turn it off, sometimes that's how it goes. Remember, no one's perfect, every kid has faults. Remember, it's the thought that counts more than the results. My heart was in the right place, even though I did it wrong. It was all to say on Mother's Day, my love for you is strong. Your car shiny inside and out with lots of olive oil. Who knew that oatmeal splatters up so high and far on boil? I tried to make you orange juice, but I spilled it on the floor. I tried to fry you bacon, we don't have a stove no more. Since you can't really cook this week, I called the pizza place. I emptied out the fridge and freezer so there's enough space. They should be here anytime, 2 dozen pizza pies. I paid with your credit card, I hope that you're surprised. Remember, no one's perfect, every kid has faults. Remember, it's the thought that counts more than the results. My heart was in the right place, even though I did it wrong. It was all to say on Mother's Day, my love for you is strong. My heart was in the right place, even though I did it wrong. It was all to say on Mother's Day, my love for you is strong. It was all to say on Mother's Day, my love for you is strong.
All right, you enjoyed that? Say amen. Amen. I got another one for you here in just a minute, maybe, as the mother's getting ready to come up. But thank the Lord for you being here this morning. Amen. We're just so glad that you're here. Punch all them other ones. Nope, you punch, you don't screw them that way. You punch them. Pow, 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 like that. They're all off. Punch them all. All of them. All right. Let's enjoy the Lord today. Sure is good to have you. We're going to stand now, and we want all mothers, all of you, to come up here. If you're visiting here this morning, whether if your mother, we have mothers, maybe if you're a stepmom or whatever, I want you to come on up here right now.
Go ahead, Miss Desi.
Amen.
I've got something. Let me do this other thing. Go, mothers.
All our mothers, let's go. If you're visiting here, if you're a visitor, you come on.
Mommy, mommy, I love you, mommy. This is your special day. Flowers.
Bear
hugs and kisses to show how I feel. I love you, Mommy dear.
That's what we say in West Virginia, Mommy. That's what we say in the mountains of North Carolina, Mommy. How many of you grew up saying Mommy? I did. Amen. We call her Mommy. Amen. Get them all up here now.
So
all right.
On every second Sunday in May, we'll celebrate Mother's Day.
I thought I
was at
me vocal.
Mommy, I love you.
Amen.
You know we love you so.
All right. If you enjoyed that, say amen. Okay. We're going to recognize some special, we're doing it different this year. As you can see, we're not going to give the individual flowers. We got something for every one of them. And if your mother's here this morning, you ought to thank the Lord for it. You're very, very blessed. My mom's been gone for 6 years now. I think about her, there's not a day goes by I don't think about my mom. Or something I heard her say, her words stick in my head. And mothers, you have no idea, you have no idea the ministry you have with your kids. You have no idea. They watch you. They listen to you. My oldest sister, Sandy, she went to home to be with the Lord when she was only 40 years old with cancer. And my other sister, Debbie, standing right there, me and her had it beat in our heads our whole life. Mom said, do that. Don't do that. She fussed at us all the time. And you know what? I thank God she did. I thank God she did. She should have knocked me in the head with a frying pan a couple of times. But my mom was good to us, and I praise the Lord for it. If your mom's here today, you ought to thank the Lord for her. So we're going to recognize our, we're going to do a little bit different. Mother with the mother with the most kids. We have anybody here who has more than seven children, biological children? Anybody? More than seven? Okay. Six. Is that Miss Dot? How many she got? She got eight. Get out of here, Miss Dot. Trying to hide from her. She also, I thought she had more than seven. She has eight, and she's also our elderliest mother here this morning. She's only 87, right? How old are you now?
89.
89? You've had two birthdays since last year. Listen. No, I ain't. Miss Dot's been good to me, and I love her and her family. She's 89 years old. She don't never miss a church service, ever. Sunday night, Wednesday night, unless she's sick, still mows grass and works in the garden and brings me apple pies once in a while, and thank the Lord for her. She takes care of me, her and Miss Phyllis, and I thank the Lord for her. So she is our elderless and the most children. So let's give her a big hand this morning. Amen. Then we got the youngest mother would be who? Who would that be this morning? All right, who is it? Y'all have to help me. I don't know. Tabitha?
I'm
28. 28. Yours ain't really here yet, but I guess she'll qualify. We let Gina qualify. Is there one younger?
23.
23. This young lady right here. What's her name? Emily. All right. Amen. This, raise your hand back there. Only 23. Amen. Let's give her a big hand this morning. All right. Now, who is the meanest mother? The meanest mother. We're going to get. Let's let the husbands vote on that, or the kids. All right. Who is the meanest mother up here, y'all? Tracy Payne. I heard it from over there. About three people said it right over there. The meanest mother. Gospel Granny's a good mother. Who is the meanest mother here? We're going to vote on this. The most. Who? Oh, no, we're not. We won't do that this morning. Have y'all, gentlemen, come get these flowers for us. We've got flowers for every one of them this morning. Okay, that's what they all would say. That's what they all would say. This morning we're going to honor them with a carnation, and we'd like for you to honor your mom today. If you can call her, call her. If you can maybe go see her this afternoon, go see her this afternoon. Spend some time with her. She's not always going to be here. She's not always going to be with us. So let's do that today, okay? All right. These gentlemen are going to come with these carnations, and as you go down, you want to get one of these. These are live, so keep them in water, and we'd like to honor you this morning with one of these, okay? All right. Let's stand and give all these mothers a big hand and remain standing, please. All right, go ahead, Miss Dixon. Y'all come on. Amen. Thank God for them. Thank the Lord for them. Just remain standing now, and Jimmy, we got one, the far one on the far left. The far left. It's still off, please. No, the far left. No, that's the wrong, there you go. Thank you. All right, let's enjoy the Lord this morning. Our usher's going to come, we'll receive our offering, and let's do what we're supposed to, honor God with our tithes and our offering this morning, please. Hope that you'll do that right quickly this morning. Lord will bless you for it. Thank you, mothers. It sure is good to have some friends with ours of mine here this morning, Brother Everett Vaughn and his wife, Mrs. Vaughn. They're from down in the Shelby area, and they're vacationing in the mountains this weekend. So, Brother Everett, why don't you come up here and ask the Lord to bless this offering, would you please? He's been a preacher friend of mine for many, many years. I used to preach revivals for him down there in Shelby, and they just sort of surprised us this morning and came in. So, Let's everybody get ready to give this morning. Honor God. He'll bless you for it. Will you do that? I hope that you will. Let's honor the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for being good to us. We pray now that your will be done in our life. Have mercy on us this morning. Bless all these special mothers in a great way. I pray, God, that your will be done in our life. We ask you, God, that you would bless this offering. Bless Brother Vaughn as he comes, and we'll thank you for it. Hallelujah. Let's remain standing. Remain our heads bowed, please.
What do you want me to do, Brother Danny? You want me to pray for you?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Father, we thank you for the service today.
And yes.
God, we thank you for godly mothers.
Amen.
Lord, we know that as the world goes, Lord, we know that mothers goes. And
yes.
God, mothers have set the pace for years in quality and spirituality, but oh, God, how it seems that the world has changed so much today. Father, I thank you that women raise up godly children.
Amen.
Lord, I just love you today, and I know that I'm so, Lord, just special. And when I think of my wife, she's a special person to me. And God, all the children she's raised, and our four girls, and our grandkids, dear God, we've been specially blessed, and we thank you for it. Thank you for these mothers, Lord, the elderly mothers, the younger, Lord, the in-between. Dear God,
yes.
Just thank you for the,
yes.
Lord, for these mothers that love Jesus. And see them standing on this platform here this morning just ignited my heart. God, I just wish we had just, you know, millions and millions and millions
Amen.
Of mothers that would just stand up and claim, I love Jesus.
Amen.
God, I love you. I pray that this service will be special today. Holy Spirit, just I pray you just come in now and just pour your power down over us. And God, I pray that you remove the blinders, dear God, that,
Amen.
That oftentimes causes people from not realizing their need for Christ. So God, I pray today that souls might get saved.
Amen.
And Lord, that Christians will be drawn close to the throne of God. Lord, I love you. We just know you're going to do a good thing here today. We praise you for it and thank you. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to tell you something. Brother, can y'all sing that song y'all sung last night? First one. Oh, okay. That's okay. That's fine. Amen. Amen.
Well, let's sing for us this morning. We'll say we welcome all of you while they're getting ready. Don't forget the service this evening. Go visit Mom. Come on back in here and be in here tonight at 6 o'clock. We got some good things planned for you, and I know you'll be blessed by it. And then don't forget Wednesday. We have our regular Wednesday evening services. We're living in a time when more and more churches are cutting out Sunday night, cutting out Wednesday night, and it's cool and hip and all that. And that's just exactly opposite from what the Bible said to do. The Bible said we should get together so much the more as we see the day approaching. You don't need less church, for heaven's sake. We need more. And so it's a sad time. People don't have a desire. But I thank the Lord for you. I thank God for people that do love the Lord. And so be here Wednesday night. Bring somebody with you. Okay?
Amen.
Stand here and think about just what he's done.
Yep.
I'm counting my blessings one by one. I sure don't deserve what he's done for me. I'll praise him forever for eternity.
Hey.
I am amazed.
Hey.
He take the time.
Hey,
to give me such blessings and of my life.
Yeah.
He is so good.
I cannot
express how thankful I am. I am so blessed.
Yes. Amen.
He's given me breath and he's given me life. He saved my lost soul from torment and strife. He died on cross just to show me his love. He's built me a home in heaven above.
I am amazed.
Yeah.
He take the time.
Yeah,
to give me such blessings and fill up my life. He is so good.
I cannot express
how thankful I am. Take the
yeah.
time to give me such blessings and fill up my life.
Amen.
He is so good.
I cannot express
how thankful I am. I am so blessed.
Amen. That's right. Thank the Lord. That's good. You enjoyed that? Say amen. I am so blessed. And you are too. And if you're a mother here today, you've been blessed also. And I know that you're here today to get a blessing, and I hope you're here today to be a blessing. It's good to see Max and Sandy. Max had some health problems. He's been all going good now. And Brother Wayne, he's had a terrible time lately. Jerry and Ann, Miss Ann's been in the hospital over in Asheville all week long. I think got to come home yesterday. And so let's remember these. That have been sick, Mr. Price, that's Sandy's mother, Sandy Boland's mother. Daddy, pray for him, and remember them in prayer also this morning. And let's take our Bibles this morning and open to the book of 2 Kings. The book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4. 2 Kings. These Old Testament books are very, very, very important. You need to read your Old Testament. The devil will lie to you and tell you you can't understand it, and all it is pages and pages of names. And that is not true. There might be 20 pages of names out of 900. And so you get in these Old Testament stories. These things were written for our example. Now I'm going to read you about, in the Bible this morning, the only woman in the Bible that the Lord said was great. Only one, and it was not Mary. There's one great woman in the Bible, And I'm going to tell you this story, so I need you to look, keep your Bibles open. I'll go a little bit different than I normally do and make it in a story form. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 8. Look at 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. There it is. Only time in the Bible. Not Mary. They exalt Mary to godhood almost, but she was not called a great woman. She was blessed among women, but not above them. And she constrained him, that's the preacher there, Elisha, to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, and on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, he'll have a place to turn in hither. In other words, when Elisha was preaching revival near them, he stayed there in what we now call prophet's chamber. That's where that come from. Verse 11, And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. He started laying there thinking about that, how a wonderful person she was. He said, get her in here. And when he called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to be captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. See how a great woman thinks? He said, do you want a promotion? Do you want to be Secretary of State? Would you like to run president, something like that? No. She said, I want to stay right with my family and be with my acquaintances and my relatives. And he said, what is it to be done for her? And Gehazi answered and said, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. Evidently, she had married an older man. He might have been past the time of being able to father a child, I don't know, but for some reason, the Lord put that in there. Verse 15, and he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season which Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. He evidently had some kind of a brain tumor or an aneurysm, a blood vessel burst. His head was hurting so bad. And when she had taken him and brought him to his mother, verse 19. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. There's another way you know that woman was great. When that boy was getting ready to die, you know what he said? Daddy said, get him to his mama. Get him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Now, skip on down there to verse number 30. I'll fill in the rest of that in a minute. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands. Very strange thing there. We'll talk more about that in a minute. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. God put life back in that boy. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times. And the child opened his eyes. How about that? And he called. That's why you know people couldn't have made the Bible up. Who would have put something like that in there? You think man wrote the Bible, he would have put that in there? And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. I want to preach this morning on a great woman. The key verse there that is her daddy. His daddy said, carry him to his mother. This woman was a great woman. She was a Shunammite. A Shunammite was somebody from Shunem. That was a little town north of Mount Gilboa there in Palestine. And I'd like to introduce the characters of this story and then just tell it to you right quick. So I'm not going to preach like I normally do with an outline. You'll have to follow me all the way through. Of course, there was Elisha the prophet. Elisha was one of the greatest prophets, preachers in the Old Testament. He was the man that followed Elijah around all his life. And when God got ready to take Elijah, he said, man, I want to see you. I want a double portion of your spirit on me. Whatever you got, give me twice of that. And Elijah said, well, if you see me when I get took up, you'll get it. And he did. And God gave him a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. That's a good prayer to pray right there. And if you'll check it, Elisha did exactly double the miracles performed through him as was Elijah. A double portion of his spirit. Now, I introduce to you this woman, the Shunammite. She's the central character of this story, and she was a great woman. All you ladies in here, you do yourself a good favor by studying this chapter real close and look at how she thought, how she behaved, how she did, and pattern your life and thinking after this woman instead of the ones on the view. You'd be a whole lot better off. And she was from Shunem and would become a great woman. She didn't have a child. She had this baby, and this boy got up pretty big and went out to his daddy's out there and died. The boy in this story would be her son. He actually died, as I said a minute ago. And when he did, she ran to the man of God. And her husband was evidently a good God-fearing man too. And we're going to talk about that today. Why does the Holy Spirit say this was a great woman? If I was a woman here this morning, I'd be interested in that. I'd be interested and I'd say, you know what? I'm going to find out what made that lady tick. And I'm going to tell you this morning. Number one, the Lord gave me this little outline just the other day, and I wrote these things down. Number one, she had an amazing spiritual perception. She had an amazing spiritual perception. This woman was spiritually minded. Now, this is something, I don't know if you can teach somebody this. I don't know you ever notice some people are just spiritually minded? They look at everything through the spiritual lens, and you should. I've been that way. I mean, when I was grown, I guess Mom put it in our heart. When you realize there's a God and there's an eternity out there, it makes a difference how you look at things here. And she looked at everything through the lens of the Scripture and God and us. Now, you work with people and know people that look at everything the total opposite. It's right now. What am I going to do now? My life here, my money, my checking account, my family, this. And we have to look at that some. But she had a very, very, very spiritual side to her. You know what she said when Elijah came to town? She said, I perceive this is a holy man of God. She said, right there's God's man. She didn't say, oh gosh, another preacher. I don't want him. I don't want him around here. She said, there's God's man. She said, we need to do something for him. She baked him a cake. She brought him stuff like Dot does. She's a spiritual woman. The Bible said she had cooked for him. She would, whenever he would come to town, she'd say, Elisha, come in here. And she went to her husband one day and she said, you know what I think we need to do? This little closet over here, We don't use that a whole lot. I think we can move the stuff out of there and build us a little chamber. And whenever he comes through, he don't have to stay out there in the street somewhere or sleep beside his donkey or something, or camel or whatever. I said, let's fix him a place to stay. She had a spiritual understanding. For some reason, this woman said, he's God's man, and I'm going to take care of him. That's a very, very, very smart way to think. I always taught my girls over there, I said, you be good to God's men. I'm not saying this because I'm a preacher. I'm saying it because it's scriptural. It's scriptural. If I know a man that's called by God to preach, you know what I got to say about him? Nothing bad. I leave it up to the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, I respect God's men. I respect the man of God. You can tell people who don't respect the man of God by how their kids act toward him. And she acted right. She had respect for God's man, Elisha. You don't learn that at school. They don't teach you that at school. They don't teach you that in college. She recognized he was God's man and took care of him. And brother, she was blessed because of that. Now, I know some women that don't have one spiritual bone in their body. I mean, you see everything through worldly lens, and the things that you look at it completely opposite. Abraham Lincoln said this one time. He said, everything I am and have become, I owe to the influence of my angel mother. That's what he called her, his angel mother. G. Campbell Morgan, the great preacher, and I could give you a bunch of these quotes. He said this. He said, my sermons are Bible stories that my mother taught me when I was little at her knee. One preacher said it like this. He said, my mother practices what I preach. That's good, isn't it? He said, my mother practices what I preach. So she had an amazing spiritual perception. Number two, she was given a special pregnancy. She's given a special, it wasn't normal. Her having that child was not normal. Her husband was elderly. It does not say how old. It does not say how young she was, but evidently there was a big gap there, and she still wanted a child. And Elisha called his servant one day, and he said, you know that woman at Shunammite down there? Every time I come to town, she's doing something for me. She's baking me cakes. She's writing me cards saying, preacher, I love you. She's always telling me what a blessing I am. She prays for me. He said, let's do something for her. Get her in here. So Gehazi goes out, and he said, Miss Shunammite, come in here. Preacher wants to talk to you. She went right in here, and he said, what can we do for you? She said, would you like to become the first woman mayor here in Shunem or something like that? And she said, no, I'm not interested in being popular. I don't care about being on TV. I don't want to be on a glamour magazine. I don't want you know what she'd have said nowadays? I'm trying to be nice in this story, but I can't help but think. Nowadays, she'd have said, oh, you give me anything I want? How about Botox? How about this tummy tuck? How about this? Can I be famous? Don't get mad at me. That's what she'd have said if she's an average woman today. Amen. And boy, she'd have, I'm not talking about your sister. she's having another kind of shots. But anyway, she'd have said, fix me up. Make me pretty. Make me beautiful. Make me rich. Let me get on TV. I want to be famous. She said, I just want to stay with my family. And you know what? Gehazi stepped up and said, you know something, preacher? Said, she ain't got no kids. You know good and well she wants a kid. Every woman wants a kid. And she's a godly woman. It's natural for her to want a kid. And he said, I tell you what, come here, sister. He said, about this time next year, you're going to have a son. And she said, now don't lie to me. That's not nice. I mean, you know good and well, that ain't going to happen. He said, I'm telling you, if the Lord said you're going to have a son. She went, well, praise. Sure enough, 3 months later, she come in one day and said, honey, you're not going to believe this, but I am going to have a baby. And 9 months after that, 1 year later, she came in with that little boy. She had a special pregnancy. I thought she was a great woman. God did that for her. Number three, let me say quickly, she encountered a serious problem. She had a serious problem. Now, ladies, we all have problems with our kids, don't we? Don't we all have problems with our kids? Even though you may have a supernatural pregnancy, you're still going to have problems with that kid. You may have a kid that's an answer to prayer. You may have a kid that you prayed for years and finally showed up. You're still going to have problems with your kid. If you think you're going to raise kids and get them all grown and have no problems, you're whistling Dixie, like I say. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. You're going to have problems. You're going to have burdens. And she had a serious problem. It don't get no more serious kid problem than the one she had. He died. It don't get no worse than that. I mean, people go in there all the time and they say, pray for my son, Brother Danny. He's on drugs. Pray for my son. He's in jail. Pray for my son. He's in trouble with the law. They're looking for him. And I, you know, hear that all the time. All the time. Good godly mothers many times have serious problems with their children. It wasn't nothing she done. It just something that happened. We don't know why. You can't explain everything that happens. You can't figure out everything that happens. You can't say, well, my kid done this because of that. My kid, they all got a mind of their own, and they all make their own choices, and you can't blame yourself for everything they do. You don't get all the credit for all the good they do, and you don't get all the blame for the bad they do. Amen? That's right. She had a serious problem with this boy. Everything went real good. He got up about that high, I reckon. Said he was grown. Don't mean grown like a grown man, but bigger than he was when he was little. And he got up and he said, I'm going out to help Daddy and them in the field. And he's out there and they're in the cornfield and they're going digging taters and everything else like that. And all of a sudden the pain come in that boy's head. And he said, my head. And that happens when, you know, an aneurysm is when a blood vessel will just bust in your head. It doesn't matter how old you are. It happens to teenagers. It happens on a regular basis. The healthiest person in the world sitting in here right now, bam, just go just like that. He said, my head. And his daddy got him over here, and he called this young man and said, take this boy to his mother. Hey, listen, when worse comes to worse, you know who they want? Mother. When they get out there and get in trouble, he didn't want to go to his friends downtown. He didn't want to go to the pool hall. He said, take him to his mother. He didn't say, take him to the drug dealer. He didn't say, we need to get this boy on Ritalin. He didn't say, we need to figure out some way to help him. He needs therapy. He needs counseling. No, sir. He said, get him to his mama. Get him to his mama. That's why she was a great woman. Brother, when a serious problem come up, they went to mother. They went to mother. Amen? If you'll think about it, when you was growing up, when you really got hurt bad, you didn't want your daddy. You said, daddy, I hurt my hand. Hey, you be all right. That's what I always told mine. And they was. And, you know, you wanted mom. You wanted mom because, buddy, she could take stuff and make it feel good. Lord, they'd put stuff in there. Years ago, when you got cut or something, they'd put Curachrome or whatever that stuff is. I don't even know if that stuff's still out there anymore, but that's what they put in. It's red, looked like dye. They put it in there, you know, and everything, and I don't know if it done any good or not. Have you ever had Curachrome, methylate, all that old crap? That's some of that liniment, Johnson's liniment or some weird bottle. It looked like something I sell at the flea market. And boy, I don't know if that stuff worked or not, but I remember one time I was about 14, I guess, 13 or 14, and I was down at the guy's house about in a Hoppy Tom across the road, about a mile from where we live, and we was going to go to the park that day. For some reason, I remember my Aunt Shirley got the kids over, and her mom was going to take us to the park. We never hardly got to do nothing like that. We thought going to Lake James was a big deal, buddy. That's where I learned how to swim, over there in Lake James. And I remember I was about 13 or 14, and I was over there, and my buddy had a bicycle built for two. I don't know if they still make them anymore. I don't know how many's ever rode a bicycle built for two by yourself. Don't try it. And I got on that thing. I said, let me see if I can ride that thing. It had one seat here, and it was extended out here, and had another seat there, and both people could pedal and everything else. That was the weirdest looking thing you ever seen. And I got on that thing, and I went around his driveway like that, and I couldn't. And I went in his basement. We'd ride through his basement, come around the parking lot, and I went through his basement, and it went out from under me, and the water heater was sitting right there, and the top of that corner had a corner there, a real sharp piece of metal. And when that bicycle went out from under me, I grabbed it like that, trying to catch myself, and I went down like that, and that metal ripped. I mean, it ripped from right there to right there, about 8 or 9 inches. It just opened up the skin, muscle, and everything. I mean, blood squirted out, and I said, "Oh my good night!" And I held it. We wrapped a rag around it or something like that. And all I went back. I went home. Went up Hoppy Tom. And I thought, Mom is going to kill me. We're going to the park. And now she's going to get mad. And I had blood all over me. I still got a scar from right there to right there. I didn't go to the doctor. You don't go to the doctor for something. Some of you people got a booger in your nose. You go to the emergency room. You need to, you didn't go to the doctor for something like that. A cut will get better. It'll get better. You don't have to have everything sewed up. Mom, they wrapped me up in a rag. And she put something on to clean it, and it got better. Got better. Still got a little scar right there, but it got better. I wanted my mom. I wanted my mom. I wanted my mom. And you know, they say them guys over yonder in foxholes in the army, when them bombs start going off, bam, going off, bam. Some of them down in there, grown men hollering, "Mama, mama, mama." But when it comes right down to it, you know who's important in your life. You know who can make it feel better, and it's Mom. She had a serious problem. And you say, "Well, Brother Danny, I've got a problem with my boy. He's on drugs. He's in prison. He's in this, that." It ain't no worse than this one. This one was dead. This one was dead. Don't get no worse than that. Number four, she made a special plan. When that boy died, you know, that's why God called her a great woman. When that boy died, you know what she did? She didn't get mad at God. She didn't say, "You crazy preacher, I told you. Now here you done caused me to have all this grief and my boy's dead." She went and took that boy's body, went into that little prophet's chamber and laid his body on the bed of God's man. For some reason, she thought God's in that room. You see what I'm talking about? Learn how to think like that. Learn how to think like that, girls. You don't get that stuff out of a book. She thought God's in that room. God, you know, "Oh, that's silly. That's how come she got the miracle and you never get one." It wasn't silly. God honored her. She put that boy's body on the man of God's bed, and she went out to the man of God. She got her guy over there, and she said, "Look, saddle me up the ponies. We're getting out of here. Get the car full of gas. Jump in there." And she said, "I'm going to get the man of God. I'm not going to sit around and wait. I'm not going to sit around and grieve. I'm going to God's man. If I had God's man here, he could help us." Buddy, that's why God called her a great woman. I'm telling you, that woman went, she went down there and she said, now look, you got this thing full of gas. You hear me? Don't you stop. This is in there. I just didn't read it. Don't you stop. Don't you slow down. We ain't stopping to eat. We ain't going, don't you get off at the rest area. It don't matter what, you floor it till we get to the man of God. Boom. And they took off. And they went down there and they found Elisha. And Elisha said, "What's wrong?" She said, "My boy's dead. My boy's dead." And he told Gehazi, he said, "Here, take my staff and go over and lay it on his face." Elisha knew what God would do. And she said, "Uh-uh. I ain't asking for Gehazi. I want you. I want you. I ain't taking no chances. I want God's man. You're going to know what to do. Nothing against you, Gehazi. I believe you're a good man. You're maybe the associate or whatever, but I want the man of God." You know, I've pastored people like that. I've pastored people over the years, and I've noticed they aggravate me to death when somebody's in the hospital, and I'm not fussing about that. I mean, it's okay. They'd call me, "Brother Danny, pray for my son. Brother Danny, pray for my boy. Brother Danny, pray for my boy." And I'll see him the next Sunday, "Have you been praying for my boy? Have you been praying?" That's the right kind of attitude, I'm telling you. That's the right kind of spirit. That she didn't take no for an answer. She wouldn't give up. She said, "My boy's dead and you can help him. You're the only hope he's got. You're the only hope he's got." And there's some of you sitting here this morning, you know that the only hope your boy's got is right here in the pulpit, and the Word of God, and the power of God, and the Holy Spirit. That's why God called her a great woman. She knew the Lord was the only thing to help her kid. That's a smart woman right there. She grabbed him by the feet. She's desperate. She didn't say, "I ain't bowing down to no man. Ain't no man gonna walk over me. He no better than I am. God, hear me, just like she got down at his feet and said, please come and pray for my boy. You say, I wouldn't get down. Well, that's why she got a miracle and you didn't. You're so proud and stuck on yourself that you have refused to humble yourself. Listen, there ain't a person in here too good to get down on your knees here at this altar and ask the Lord to help you. Amen. You're not bowing down to me. You're bowing down to the Lord. She wasn't worse than Elisha. She was worse than the God that Elisha served and asking him, could he come and help her? Smart woman. Smart woman. You know Martin Luther? The great reformer Martin Luther back in the 1500s. His mom was a coal miner's wife. And she went hungry so Martin could go to school. Bet you don't know her name, do you? No, you don't. Nobody knows who she is. But they know who Martin Luther is. We don't know this woman's name. Her name's not even mentioned. It don't matter. She got the miracle for her child. People, when we get to heaven, you talk about some surprises. When we get to heaven, we think, oh, the Lord's going to have our brother so-and-so and Reverend so-and-so and this great evangelist up there in the front. I guarantee you when we get to heaven, the Lord's going to pull out some old grandmas that lived up here in the mountains that nobody's ever heard tell of, and nobody's ever known their name, and put them up to the front of the line and said, you get the reward. You preachers, people's good to you and give you love offering, bought you stuff and everything. You got a lot of your reward. Mama here is the one's going to get it. Nobody ever heard tell of her. But if you had an old praying grandma or you had a praying mama, you ought to raise your hands today and say, thank the good Lord in heaven. If it wasn't for my mama, you might be in hell right now if it wasn't for your mom. I don't have no doubt in my mind at all. I'm saved right here today because of my mom. I don't doubt that a bit. Even though I didn't get saved at home, I got saved at church when I was 18, but I don't doubt a bit that I'm saved because of the influence that my mom had on me. John Wesley's mom, same way. John Wesley's mom said he wouldn't do nothing. He wanted to be a missionary, and then his daddy died, and he loved his mother so much, he thought, I need to take care of her. She had all them kids, and he said, Mama, you tell me what to do, and I'll do it. She said, go. And her word, brother, her word was law. When Susanna Wesley said something, John Wesley said, yes, ma'am, and obeyed her. That's a great woman. I'll say lastly, and I'm done. She received a supernatural provision, a miracle. Elijah said, go. Gehazi, go take my staff. She said, nope, ain't taking that. Elijah said, all right. He came in. Here he comes down to the house. Here comes Elisha. Boy's laying in there dead. The woman saying, please, please come. Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher. I don't know what you can do, but we just need you here. We need you right now. We know you can get in touch with God. We know you're God's man. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a Bible. Genesis wasn't even around then. I mean, it happened, but it ain't been wrote, far as I know. And brother, listen, I'm telling you tonight, you hear, this morning, you hear me? She didn't know what to do except get a hold of God's man. He can get a hold of God. He came in, walked in there, and there laid that little boy. And I don't know this, but I bet Elijah, I've done this. He thought, I've eaten many a good meal in here. Lord, this little build place right here was built because that woman loved me and loved you. Lord, I just feel a special place of your power in this place. I've prayed a many a prayer right here beside this bed. And he got down and prayed and touched him there. And put he done that for a reason, put his hands on his hands, face on his face. And his little boy started getting warm. And Elijah got out and walked back and forth a little bit, said, oh God. Or Elisha said, God, you're going to help him? Are you going to help him? And he went back in there again and prayed. And buddy, that guy, he raised his hand, ha-choo! 7 times. And he sneezed. You know they say when you sneeze, you die for a second. You ever heard that? Like your heart stops or whatever. And you can't sneeze with your eyes open. It's impossible. That's what I heard. Try it. Ha-choo! You know, that ain't a real sneeze. That's a fake sneeze. A real one. I know somebody was like, That's a cat. A real person goes, ha-choo! My daddy used to think you could hear it from here to that sign way out yonder. And you can't do that. A real sneeze, you close your eyes. And the Bible said the child opened his eyes. Opened his eyes. And Lord have mercy. She praised God. She walked back and forth. She fell at Elisha's feet. I'm telling you, buddy, she said, hallelujah. I'm telling you, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. The Lord helped him. The Lord helped me. 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 And worship the Lord. Years ago, up in Chicago, I'll tell you this and I'm done. This mother's son was arrested for killing a policeman. And this was back in the 1940s. But you kill policemen back in, you're done. You're gone. And they put him in prison for, I don't know, life or something like that. And she believed that her boy was innocent. And her name was Tilly. And Miss Tilly's son, Joe, was in prison for murder. She went and got her a job and worked 11 years, 8 hours a day. Scrubbing floors, 6 days a week, 3,500 nights, she got on her knees and scrubbed floors and saved her money and offered a reward for anybody that could help her. And a reporter found out the story and went and started digging up facts. And sure enough, they proved that, they reopened the case, and that boy was innocent, and he got out of prison. And she baked him a cake. And when he first come home, she baked him a big old cake, and she sat in the kitchen and watched him eat it with tears running down her face. Ain't nobody can understand that but a mother. The next thing to God's love is a mother's love. The closest thing you can get to it in this world. That's why she is a great woman. My prayer today would be that every woman in here make up your mind. It's not how pretty you are, how nice a car you got. I mean, if you got them things, there's nothing wrong with it. But make it your goal to be a great woman in the sight of God. Let's stand by our head for prayer. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. This morning, I wonder, ladies, you meet me here this morning on this altar and say, you know what? I'd like to be that kind of woman. I'd like to be that kind of woman. Something's already coming. This invitation, we're not going to sing. Just going to pray a few minutes here and let you go. I'd like to be that kind of woman. Amen. Amen. She had a remarkable spiritual perception. How she looked at everything the right way. She got a miracle. She got her miracle. God honored her faith. If you're here this morning, maybe you're not a Christian. You want to come to the Lord this morning, ask Him to come into your heart and save you. Right now would be a good time for you to get saved. You'll never be the woman you need to be till you get saved. You'll never be the mother to your kids that you could be and should be till you get saved. You'll never be the mother you could be if you're not living right. Would you come this morning? Would you come right now? Father, do what ought to be done right now in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful story you put in the Bible so we could learn from it and live by it and love it. I pray that you'd bless every single person here today. Have you in our heart. Lord God, do what ought to be done in our life. Lord, I pray you'd bless all of our mothers here today. Bless them in a powerful way. Bless them in a mighty way. Dear God, do what needs to be done in every life. Oh, Lord. Send the power. Send the power on every single one. And Lord God, we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You're still praying this morning. We're still praying. We'll wait just a few seconds while these are still praying today. You don't have no greater ministry in this world than raising them kids and teaching them right. Think about Martin Luther, where we'd be right now, John Wesley and them guys. Their mom is the one that was responsible for them being in the ministry. Mine was too. You have no idea how much of an influence you can be on those kids. They watch you. When it comes right down to it, they'll say, carry him to his mother. When the bad time comes, take him to his mom. She'll know what to do. Mama will know what to do. If you got a mother like that, you ought to thank God. If everybody says, she'll know what to do. You got one like that, you better thank the Lord for it. When everybody says, she'll know what to do, take him to her. Nowadays, they say, Lord, don't, she's crazy. Don't know, take her. Be that kind of woman. Lord will bless you for it. Amen. All right, all minds and hearts clear.